Thank you. You can be seated. If you would, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It is good to see each one, even out in the parking lot and here with us as well in the building. We're thankful God is blessed that we could come together and worship. And as I've already mentioned, that as a church, that we need to make sure that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth wherever we are, and that don't stop when we leave the building, or when it don't start when we enter the building, but we are to always look to the Lord. It is important that we do come together in the best way we can. And so I'm thankful for the effort that you're putting forth, especially I know that this church has been, went through an awful lot in the last few weeks. And so I appreciate your prayer. You know, we talk about being thankful. I'm certainly thankful I had people praying for me. Because I know that God makes the difference and made the difference in my life even to be here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know this in David's early life that he was a shepherd and he had a great... Being a shepherd, you know, you might think of that. Sometimes people kind of do things like that for a hobby nowadays, but he was a shepherd and that was their livelihood. And so he had a great responsibility to look after his father's sheep. Just to give us somewhat of some separation between maybe a shepherd in our day and a shepherd in his day, whenever a bear come and took one of his sheep, he went and he took it back. Whenever a lion came, he went and took the lion by the mane and he took the lamb back from the lion. And so it was a very serious business. It was a very great responsibility. And, you know, I think we're living in a time where you don't see people living up to any responsibility much whatsoever. But responsibility was taught in Scripture, and people were to take things very serious. We, you know, even you think about what is sound doctrine. You go in the book of Titus, and it says that the older men teach the younger men to be grave. We're to be very serious about life, and it's not just always a joke, and it's not just always a pleasure, and it's not just always playing around. But we're to take life very seriously. And so David, he took, even from a young boy, he took life very seriously. He took being a shepherd. That was his responsibility, and he was very serious about it. And so when his father asked him, Jesse, to go on a journey, to go and take food to his brothers, go see how they are, how they fare, he had to go find somebody to look after his sheep. And so he did. He found someone that could take care of his sheep while he was gone. And again, that was an important task that he had to do. He was to keep the sheep, but now his father was saying, I need you to do something else. And so he couldn't do both things at once. So he had to make some arrangements for his sheep while he was away. And that's very important, especially if you look at it from a spiritual point of view. I think it's very important, even you think about pastors, that we have great responsibility to the flock of God, to feed the flock, take the oversight thereof. And so when we're not able to, we have to make special arrangements. And I think there's a lesson in that. I'm not going to deal with that this morning, but that's just something that I was thinking. 1 Samuel 17 Verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistines and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? We're going to cease reading with these verses this morning. First thing I want us to see is that David acted in total obedience to his father Jesse. He was a very obedient son. And it's very obvious even in his early years how that God favored him because of the man that David was even in his heart. And so when his father asked him to do something, he was in total obedience to Jesse. What I want you to get is this, Brother Joy, that he was not naughty. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He's not being disobedient. His heart was not prideful at all. None of these accusations were accurate that came out of his brother's mouth. And so, in other words, he was falsely accused by his brethren. I want you to think about that, that he went and the sole purpose of this journey was to go down because his father told him to. He was there to check on his brethren, and while he was there, God placed a burden upon his heart when he saw Goliath defy the armies of God. And so, none of these accusations were accurate, and yet he was being falsely accused by his brother. Now let's look at Eliab just a minute. And I want to focus on this statement that he made. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. I know you. I know who you are, David. I know the kind of boy you are. And then he begins to belittle him, and he begins to look very lightly upon the duty of even watching over the sheep. Who'd you leave those few sheep with? What are you doing down here? You come down here because of you're being naughty. You come down here because you're prideful. I know who you are. In other words, I have already made a judgment against you. As soon as you come into our presence, I've judged you. Unaware of his father's instructions, his own father's instructions. He's unaware of that. He didn't consider that maybe Jesse sent him. He didn't think about that. If he did, Brother Mike, he didn't care that Jesse had sent David. Apparently, just by David being there, it was somewhat of maybe an embarrassment to him that he would even come here. And so he puts him down and he decides he knew the heart of David. Eliab was not there whenever David received his instructions from Jesse. Perhaps there was some, I don't know, maybe there was some malice there from their younger years. And maybe it simmered in their lives among these brethren. We don't really know that. It's just, I'm saying it's a possibility. Maybe there was already some malice there with these. But nonetheless, these brothers made the wrong judgment against David. No doubt it was hurtful to him. As he's there, and David knows his heart. David knows why he's there. David also understands the burden, the cause that has been placed before him by God. Goliath's out on the field for a reason. I'm here for a reason. And now God is connected the two. And David says, there is a cause in front of me. There's a cause for me to be concerned about this giant that has walked out on the field. And so, whenever his brothers said these words, it was probably very hurtful to him. No doubt it could have been harmful if David had lost sight of the cause that was now in front of him and decided to be offended by it, you know, allowed himself to be offended by it. If you notice, he immediately turned from Eliab and he begins to talk to somebody else. I'm not going to say anything else to you about this. I'm going to continue on until I get some answers. And so this morning, the burden on my heart is this. I want to encourage you all, church, not to lose sight of the cause that is before us. Amen. Don't lose sight of it. There's many accusations and there's many judgments being made in the world today. Judgments against politicians and judgments against men and judgments against churches and judgments against preachers and judgments probably no doubt against you for some of the decisions that maybe you have made and even others, those that be listening from the vehicle. Maybe judgments have been made toward you. And so only you know your own heart. That's between you and God. Only you know that. And so you can hear the instructions of the Father. See, the way God communicates with His children is He speaks to us with a still small voice. He speaks to my heart. And if you were sitting beside me when God spoke to my heart, you wouldn't even recognize that. You would not know what He's communicated to my heart because God speaks to us in a still small voice and He speaks to our heart. And so I know God leading my heart. I know that. I know the burdens that God give me. See, God called me to preach. None of y'all were involved in that communication. Oh, in fact, at the time, you probably didn't even know me. But that was between me and God. God communicated to me and let me know. And I had to speak with the Lord. And there was a conversation that went on. And no doubt even some arguing on my side trying to get out of that. And yet at the end of the day, God knew what He was doing. I said at the end of the day, at the end of the long period of running from the Lord, I knew that God was speaking directly to my heart. And that was something very personal. So you can hear the instruction. If you're saved, you can hear the instruction from your Father. And you are to be obedient even if no one understands. You're to be obedient to the Lord. So the church has been set on a course, and that's what I want us to see. The church has been set on a course and commissioned by Jesus Himself. We have been given access to all power. We are to, as a church, we are to make sure that the Word of God is being preached and those that would hear and they would be saved, they are to be baptized. And then those same ones that have been baptized, they are to be taught all things that God would have us to know. And that is a very important thing. That is a very essential thing. That's what God wants for us. And so I want us to again see the cause. There's a cause that's set before us. And it's of the utmost importance that we understand this cause and don't lose sight of that cause. Don't lose sight that God has left us here so that we can be a blessing to others. God has left us here so that we can let our good works be seen and people glorify our Father in heaven. Don't lose sight of that because no doubt that there's things that are being said and things that are being done and no doubt things being put in place by the prince and the power of the air himself that very easily could discourage us if not careful. Things even being said very easily could get us off course. Whenever Eliab spoke to his brother David and said, I know the naughtiness of thine heart and I know the pride of thine heart. You just come down here to spy out the battle. He could have got so mad at that. Face turned red, clenched his fist. He could have just took a slung and hit him. He could have. I don't know how much bigger Eliab was. Eliab might have took him over his knee and wore him out. I don't know, but apparently he was at least big enough that they had somewhat confidence let him go out on the battlefield. And so, don't lose sight of the cause that God has set before us. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. Back up a few chapters. First Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So this is the true heart of a godly woman. She's got a burden on her heart. She's got a desire on her heart. She has been mistreated by an adversary. She went to her husband, and her husband completely blew it, man. I mean, he gave her information that no doubt that just probably like throwing fuel on the fire for most of us. It would have been very easy to get discouraged and outraged about that, and yet she didn't let that persuade her. She realized that this is a burden on my heart. And so she's going to go up to the temple to pray. And as she's praying, she's very bitter, bitterness of her soul. She's praying. There's tears that's streaming down her face. She's weeping. And now look at verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Listen at this now, what she says to the high priest. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Don't count me as one of these other women out here. Don't count me as a woman of Belial. Don't count me that way. So the priest of God sees a woman of a broken heart praying, and she's weeping. She's very bitter in her heart. She's done exactly what a godly person should do. She's got a burden. She has carried that burden to the Lord, and she's pouring her heart out before God. That's Eli should be familiar with that in God's house, but he's not. He's allowed some things to go. He's allowed some things to not be what they need to be, even there in the temple. And so his first idea, he sums this woman up. Moment he sees her, he sums her up. That's another one of them old drunk women. That's a woman of Belial right there. And so he not only, he don't go and inquire. He don't give her the benefit of the doubt. He just immediately thinks, how long are you going to be drunk? Leave the wine alone. Get out of here. No doubt. That's his attitude. This woman's drunk. This woman is a worshiper of a false god. Now, but I wonder how bad that hurt her. I know we don't find it here. We don't find where it got her off course. But she's human. I wonder how bad that hurt whenever the man of God accused her of being drunk. The man of God accuses her, though not at least she recognizes that he's basically summed her up as being a woman of Belial. I wonder how bad that hurt her. It would have been very easy to get offended by that. It'd be very easy, if she didn't have a little bit tougher skin, it'd been very easy for her to say, you know what, I give up. I talk to my husband. He don't understand. I've got this adversary, and every time I turn around, she's throwing up that she's had a child to my face, and you know, that hurts, and I'm come down here and I'm trying to pray. I've got alone. I'm trying to pray to God, and the very high priest has come to me and has accused me of being a woman of Belial and to be drunk on top of that. And very easy to just say, I give up. You see, our adversary, the devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And no doubt there's things being put in place by him. I'm going to say to go ahead and finish this world up. To go ahead and finish things up. And I don't know, we could be here, you know, the remainder of my life. And even beyond that. But I believe that no doubt there's things being put in place to discourage like never before. Hannah came to the temple of the Lord. She's fervently praying, tears streaming down her face, seeking God's help. Now the man of God has passed an unfair judgment upon her. She pleads her case to him, but this is what I want you to get. She then returns to her burden until she gets relief. God can do for us what no man can do for us. It is so important to stay the course. To just keep our hands to the plow without looking to the right or to the left, to see the cause that God has placed before us and to carry it out. Brother Byron, we've been charged, walk worthy of the vocation in which we've been called. Walk worthy of it. And see, I know what my vocation is because God has placed it upon my heart. We come together to church to worship, to provoke one another to love and to good works, and then to go out into the world and see the Great Commission accomplished. To see the will of God done in our lives. It's so important to stay that course. God knows your heart. Understand, God is the one that knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Men don't know that. Other women, that they don't know thoughts and intents of your heart. God knows that. In fact, God told Abraham, didn't he? He said, Abraham, you're going to have a child in your old age. And Sarah was inside the tent there, and the Bible said she laughed within herself. She didn't do it out loud. Whatever God said she was going to have a child, that kind of tickled her a little bit. And God said, why did she laugh? Uh-oh. Busted. Why did she laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. God said, you did too. Yes, you did. So we're not going to hide anything from God. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. God knows the burdens that He places upon our heart. God knows the course that He set in front of us. God set a course in front of Abraham. In front of Sarah, you're going to have a child in your old age. They laughed about it, or she laughed about it. God set a course for us. God has a course for you. Brotherly love will prevent us from making accusations. It's real easy to do. You see somebody, they're not doing what you're doing. It's real easy to make an accusation. I've been guilty. Look, you forgive me. I've been guilty. We're dealing with things that I've never dealt with before. So, you know, many times I look at things and old Brad, he gets stubborn. And brotherly love will prevent us from making accusations. And I'm not saying here at Clear Branch you've got a big problem with that. I'm just saying it'd be very easy to do. Eyes upon Jesus will prevent us from being detoured when accusation made about us. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are saved and part of the church. you can try the spirits and see if they're of God or not. It's very important we do that. You see, sometimes the spirit of anger come on us and we'll do things in anger and we'll think, I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing. Or we might have a different spirit come upon us. And we try to, we think, well, I'm doing exactly what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. But not follow them feelings. Follow the Lord. Do not be discouraged. Offenses, they're going to come. And I'll say myself personally, I've been spoiled to live in the time that I've lived, that as far as persecution, as far as, you know, any real trouble, I haven't had to deal with that. I hear other ministers and older ministers that have went through things. I haven't had to deal with persecution. Our generation hadn't dealt with a whole lot of persecution in South Mississippi. But that may change. In fact, it already has. It's already changed. And so offenses shall come. The Bible said it's needful that offenses come. Woe unto those that do the offending, though. And so will we face those obstacles? And as we face those obstacles, will we continue to keep the pace, continue to stay on course? What Paul say? He said, I finished my course. That's what I want to do. Brother Byron, I want to finish mine. And I want to finish it faithfully. That way when I stand before the Lord, I know that He'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You pray for me. I need your prayer. I thank you for praying for me the way that you have.